Residents in southeastern Wisconsin say a proposed power line to fuel new data centers will disrupt their communities. They're speaking out against it. It's Thursday, October 23rd. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Courtney Everett. Coming up, how the government shutdown is affecting Wisconsin's hiking trails. And drought on the lower Mississippi River is making life harder for Wisconsin farmers. Stay with us.
Be fully awake to your day with Wisconsin Today.
I feel like this is our opportunity to listen to some things we just haven't heard and perspectives that are new and different from our own.
We went from being the number three highest crime block in the city to not even being on the list. I see love blossoming and growing over there, and you know, and that covers poverty.
Wisconsin Today, weekday mornings at 9 on WPR News.
Residents are speaking out about a proposed transmission line project that would help support the data center development in Port Washington. Evan Casey has more.
American Transmission Company wants to build high voltage lines across several counties as part of the work. The preferred route is 90 miles long and would cost $1.4 billion. But some residents along that route are concerned about those plans. Farmington resident Beth Cesar lives around 12 miles from the data center, but power lines could go up in front of her home if one route is selected.
When the data project was approved in Port Washington, nobody had any idea the implications for the neighboring communities.
The Public Service Commission of Wisconsin will eventually pick the final route. Port Washington's mayor is asking them to select another route that already has existing lines and infrastructure in place. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A bill advancing in Wisconsin could give sexual assault victims more time to bring charges. Currently, Wisconsin has a 10-year statute of limitations for second-degree sexual assault. If a bipartisan proposal becomes law, that time period would double, allowing prosecutors to file charges up to 20 years after the assault happens. Molly Montague is with the anti-sexual violence organization RAIN, which supports the bill.
With advancements in DNA and other forensic technologies, evidence can be preserved for decades, ensuring that prosecutors can still pursue cases with the high burden of proof needed to secure a conviction.
Studies show that only a small percentage of sexual assaults are reported to law enforcement. Montague says it often takes survivors years to come forward because of shame or fear of retaliation. Federal staff and volunteers working on national trails running through Wisconsin are feeling the effects of the government shutdown, as Danielle Kading reports, that includes the Ice Age and North Country National Scenic Trails.
Around 7 employees with the National Park Service have been furloughed between the Ice Age and North Country National Scenic Trails. Luke Kloberdans with the Ice Age Trail Alliance says the furloughs, along with the loss of liability coverage for volunteers, are key concerns. Volunteers typically enjoy similar protections as federal employees, but not during the shutdown.
All of that work is now done with a little bit more of, you know, personal risk in that they don't have that liability insurance.
Kloberdans says they're issuing waivers for people to conduct trail work. Volunteer Lisa Pence says she signed one.
Everybody seems to be positive and likes to be outdoors and wants to get this work done.
Even so, Kloberdans says 40 volunteers were no-shows on a recent trail project, which he attributed to the lack of coverage. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
In the nearly 3 years since the University of Wisconsin-Platteville closed its Richland campus, a wave of closures of university branch campuses has followed. Right now, only 6 of the system's 13 former two-year campuses are fully operational. Last week, the University of Wisconsin-Platteville announced they will close its Baraboo campus next May, citing decline enrollment. Taylor Odell is an education professor at UW-Madison. He says that for underserved or rural communities, two-year campuses can represent the only option for higher education in that county or region.
So it hurts people who are currently in college, but then think about like the high school juniors and seniors, or like the adult who's working and might be considering going back to school. It just necessarily completely eliminates an entire option for them.
Republican lawmakers have said the UW system costs too much in taxpayer money. After the break, farmers rely on the Mississippi River as a shipping route. Low water levels are making that a challenge. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
U.S. farmers are facing rising costs. That includes fertilizer, a critical part of getting high yields. Millions of tons of the product travel up the Mississippi River yearly. Harvest Public Media's Tadeo Ruiz-Sandoval reports on how long rainfall could contribute to even higher fertilizer prices.
The Mississippi River, stretching over 2,000 miles, is essential for farmers to sell their crops. Nearly half of all U.S. corn, soybeans, and wheat exports pass through here on their way to the Gulf of Mexico. I'm standing at the edge of the river on the pier in Red Wing, Minnesota, just south of the Twin Cities. This is the furthest point where barges can travel them to the U.S. to pick up their crops for export. It's also the last stop for them to unload fertilizers, herbicides, and other essential inputs farmers need. Here, water is plentiful, and barges glide easily along. But in the lower half of the Mississippi, south of Illinois, there's been little rain. Some parts of the river could drop by 8 feet in weeks. Captain Mike Knapper, a Mississippi River tug and pull pilot, says barges have to carry lighter loads to avoid scraping the bottom of the ship's hull on the riverbed.
You know, the less product you take, they got to make more trips to get, you know, X amount of product from A to B.
He now operates out of a pier in Wisconsin, but previously worked in Memphis, Tennessee for 7 years. By late September, the Farm Bureau reported that barge rates had already risen significantly above their long-term averages. If the river shrinks as forecasted for October, rates could reach previous drought year highs.
Somebody else has got to pay the piper for that extra trip. Well, then on the flip side of that, the fertilizer companies is going to charge the farmer more. And trust me, I spent the first 18 years of my life on a dairy farm. I know all about that.
Paul Freeman's farm in Starbuck, Minnesota, is a couple of hours away from the river's edge. The combine we're in is inhaling rows of soybeans. He's feeling the pressure from the fertilizer spikes and expects next spring to be no different.
They're going to spread that cost down the line to where the person has to pay it, and that's me.
But he's got a plan. He'll buy his fertilizer earlier this year in the winter to better plan his costs for the spring. Has that happened before?
Farmers are getting smarter and they're doing that more.
Chad Hart, an ag economist at Iowa State University, agrees. He says that while some buy fertilizer early, others wait, hoping that the price will come down.
You're just trying to figure out best how to time the market to try to avoid those pinch points.
These rising costs come at a time when many producers are already in a tough place. China has decided not to buy any soybeans for the upcoming market year. It's also buying less corn.
So it's sort of a double whammy for farmers here. They're facing lower prices for their corn and soybeans if we can't move as fast down the river. But we're also facing higher fertilizer, higher input costs because that same problem.
Back at his farm, Paul Freeman is about to unload today's harvest into a storage truck. It's usually a moment of great pride, but with high operating costs and low revenues, his margins are tightening.
At the end of the day, I gotta make ends meet, just like the person at the doing the checkout at the grocery store. That person has to make ends meet also.
So he's adapting. He's expanding his local business connections, selling specialty crops to Japan, and putting less fertilizer on his fields. I'm Tadeo Ruiz Sandoval, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including WPR. And of course, taking a look at weather today, this morning light rain is expected with snow showers in the Northwoods. Expect slow decreasing clouds and cooler for the rest of the day. Highs expected to reach the 40s to the north and 50s to the south. And then tonight, mostly clear and cold with a hard frost statewide. Lows expected to be in the mid to upper 20s. And then tomorrow, calm and sunny. Highs expected to reach in the upper 40s north and mid-50s south. And then throughout the weekend, expect a frosty start on Saturday, with highs and then reaching in the mid-50s, partly sunny. And then on Sunday, mixed skies and mild, with highs reaching nearly 60 to the south and mid-50s to the north. And that'll do it for your Thursday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm Courtney Everett. Our producer today was Rob Menser. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.